Reggie and ATL coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, here with the fabulous Nicholas Bach. I think this might be the first time I said fabulous this year, but it might not be because sometimes I post these episodes out of order. I don't know.
I think one of the George episodes you went fabulous because we went legendary with George and I was fabulous still.
So do you like that? Do you feel like 2020 needs a different name?
New year, old me, baby.
Okay. So that's, you don't really, if you're not a fan of New Year's resolutions and stuff like that anyway.
Yeah, we've talked. Yeah.
So you're bucking the system as it is.
I'm going to get better every time you see me.
That's what I'm talking about. No matter the year.
No matter the month. Second, no matter the minute.
I hope you're bringing your A game today.
Oh, no.
Nicholas Bach. Because I did go see The Joker.
Now, you went to go see it, or did you?
I saw it.
I was in the same room.
Now, we've had an episode on this before. For the uninitiated, people who might not have listened to the previous episodes, go back and go listen to that episode.
To us.
Because at that particular time, I had not seen the episode yet, and I had strong feelings about it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the film yet, and I had strong feelings about it. And I've seen the film, and I still have somewhat the same feelings about it.
Okay.
Now, I should have gone back and listened to the old episode so I could have came better prepared. I didn't prepare enough for this, Nick. Yeah. I just remember that thinking it was a bait and switch situation.
You had an uninformed opinion based on an emotional response from someone else that you shared a lot of the same views with. That's essentially
that
what the argument
clearly
was.
Clearly not what the argument was about.
The argument was
because the person had the viewpoint
that you said,
as a coworker. I don't even know her like that. I don't have
no,
never
no,
had
no,
any
Josh.
Conversation.
I was talking about Josh.
Josh is an opinion, but
well, I know,
he's
but you
not
formed
driving an opinion though.
From two separate, like different polarizing opinions, you formed your own opinion based on two emotional
from Todd
responses.
Phillips. Don't take Todd Phillips out of there.
I'm not taking Todd Phillips out of
it. It was his interview was part of the reason I had that opinion also.
All right, fair enough.
I do my research. I don't just take individuals. Everybody's got their own opinion.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So all in all, mm-hmm. Was it still a bait and switch situation for you?
I felt it was a little different for me because I went in knowing
already knew
what it was going to be.
Yeah.
So I wasn't as upset as I would have been if I'd watched that film in the theater. If I watched that film in the theater, I would have been upset. I didn't watch it in the theater. And I knew kind of what it was going to be. And it ended up being exactly what I thought it was. It looked like a film about mental health, a film about we've all created the Joker. He's all of our problems.
But
he's
it's
the way
also,
he is because
it's also
of all of us and how horrible we are.
It's also showing our complicit nature of admiring, almost romanticizing that type of behavior. And it was basically kind of turning a quote unquote black mirror back on society, saying, if you idolize people like this and these ideals and make these people heroes, you're just as evil as they are.
Is the Joker idolized, you feel?
I mean, at the ending of the movie, yes, he is.
I mean, at the end of the movie, by a bunch of vandals who seem to be standing next to barrels
around. No, but it turns it into a class type situation. That was my whole point. It goes on so many layers.
I'm part of the criminal class because they accept me.
Not the criminal class. The poor class. It was all about a wage gap too. It's literally.
Wait.
You didn't get that whole thing.
Oh my God, Nick. Okay,
you didn't get the whole subtext of Thomas Wayne being this like, oh, I'm rich, and then the entire like I'm not crying you
oh
a river.
Goodness,
I'm just saying that
Nick,
was the subtext
not
of the movie.
Not necessarily you in particular, but people who might have that particular perspective. So you mean to tell me this guy engages in all types of criminal behavior, and I have to be like, but what was his upbringing like?
I don't have to say that at all.
What is his financial situation
People usually rob people, are poor.
That's usually why they do it.
Exactly. But my whole point is, it's just not... You're turning it into black and white of like criminal and good and it all goes into that? Well, I mean, you're just saying, when I say class system, you automatically went, oh, the criminal class. That's not what I meant.
I'm talking about at the end of the movie. Because clearly... I don't know if you watched into that movie. There didn't look like a lot of upstanding citizens out there, Nick.
But it was
that were
still,
dancing around
but,
that
but
car.
Not everyone in that situation was a criminal.
Sounds very Donald Trumpish of you. There were some very good
okay,
people
wait
on both
a second,
sides.
Wait a second.
There
that
very
is not
good
that is
people.
That is a complete
amongst these vandals
farce.
Dancing around
you
this burning car with this guy jumping on top
again,
and dancing.
Is every okay? So you, and by your standards. everyone who riots is a criminal. Everyone who protests and riots is a criminal.
Wait, don't add protest to
no,
that.
No, that's what it was.
Protest, you cleaned
essentially,
it up.
Essentially what you're saying is anybody
out there, the protest, you cleaned it up.
Okay, so everyone who goes to a riot is automatically a criminal.
Why are you having me? How many riots have you attended, Nick?
Two or three.
Okay, what are you, what were you doing there?
I was just taking pictures. What do you want me to say? Like, it wasn't necessarily a riot, but like it was people.
Nick is where? You're where, Nick? Where riot breaks out?
I'm in the middle of the street.
Was this Atlanta?
This was in downtown Atlanta during the Black. It wasn't a riot, given you. It wasn't a riot, but there were people in the middle of the street running around and stopping cars, and the cops were there, and people were like shutting down the downtown streets of Atlanta, if we remember, like with the
When was this?
This was what, like 4 years ago?
Okay. And what was the context?
It was the Black Lives Matter thing. It wasn't a riot. It was not a riot.
Was it a march?
No, it wasn't a march. It was a huge rally shut down of downtown Atlanta in the middle of like, I think it was like 8 or 9 o'clock on like a Friday night.
So you were down there. You heard prior that this was going to be occurring?
No.
You were down there?
My friend just happened to be down there? They're shutting down downtown Atlanta. Do you want to go? I was like, that would make some great pictures. I went down there.
Where's your other riot?
My other riot?
Because you said you've had a couple.
Okay, I have a couple. Okay. All right, so the other riot.
Wait. Let's stop there for a second.
It's not necessarily a riot, but I'm telling you.
I have a couple.
Okay, I've been to a Trump rally where the entire downtown Atlanta was shut down.
I remember that. I recall. That was at the Fox.
I was in the midst of it.
At Fox.
Yeah.
Right?
I was in the middle of it. I have video footage of it. So just because I'm there doesn't mean I'm a criminal.
Well, are you a journalist?
Okay, but so you're saying the cameraman
that's there, yeah. I'm not going to count him as amongst the vandals cheering, because I don't think you were cheering with your camera, were you?
No.
Right? Were you dancing around a car? Were you dancing around that vehicle?
Well, I mean, I had to be around the vehicle if I'm getting footage.
I think that if anybody, so what I suggest anybody do, go watch the end of The Joker and imagine Nick blocking that crowd taking his photos.
That's fine.
Just taking his pictures.
I'm not counting the guy.
The people who just happen to be, because so you know what? When people riot, they tend to riot in public places. Some people might just be there.
Yeah.
If a riot breaks out at Kroger, I'm already at Kroger. Right. I'm just shopping.
Yeah.
And here's a riot.
I'm not blaming that person.
Right. I'm just minding my business.
And then all of a sudden,
and
chaos.
The riot breaks out. Okay, I'm not counting that. I'm not counting that situation. Okay, I'm counting people, the active participants of the riot.
I'm just saying that the narrative was just more than what you're saying it was.
And what did I say?
You're saying it's just a mental health movie bait and switch situation. It's okay. That's emotional for you, the bait and switch. I can't judge you on that. But just simply saying it's a mental health movie.
I wouldn't
say
that it just comes down to that, because I wouldn't give it a one word description, because it's multifaceted. It's not just one. And also, I said, and the other, I will say this, I'll add this now, because I can add this now to what I didn't know before. And I did this with Rian Johnson, The Last Jedi, that horrible movie that you should never see. I said, I can separate a good piece of film from what I don't like about it. I can step out of I'm very good at being able to separate what my preference is to something versus what it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just don't like something, but that doesn't mean it's just garbage. In this particular situation, the movie wasn't horrible. I didn't leave the movie. I didn't finish watching the movie and was like, I just wasted my time. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, cool, whatever. But if I had went in wanting to watch a movie called The Joker, what was his name in that movie?
Arthur Fleck.
The movie should have been called Arthur.
There's already a movie called Arthur with Dudley Moore.
Let's leave Dudley out of this.
Russell Brand. Come on.
First of all, there's multiple Arthur movies. And he was good in all of them.
There's King Arthur.
He was good in all of them. Like Lancelot?
I mean, yeah, there's King Arthur.
I mean, isn't there's it called King Arthur, though? This one should just be called Arthur. And it should be in lowercase letters with a period.
All right.
That's what it should be. It should be Arthur.
Or Charlie.
With that silence
flowers
afterwards.
For Algernon. There's some...
Arthur.
Okay.
This is why you don't make these decisions. A movie about. If I had made this movie, would have been much better.
Okay.
If I did it, first of all. Let's talk about Reggie's Joker.
Scene one opening. How does Reggie's Joker movie start?
It starts with a bank robbery. He's running in. There's green gas. Wait. Don't act like somebody has been beat up before. Let's act like the stuff I'm talking about.
Opening on the Joker in a bank robbery.
The stuff that I'm talking about happens less than what happened in that movie. What happened in the actual Joker movie was somebody going through their actual life. That's nothing fascinating about that. A guy who gets picked on, who's going through a life, who's got
for challenges. For you, because you're not picked on and you don't have challenges.
How do you know I wasn't picked on?
I mean,
I could have been. I'm not 6'5", Nick.
I'm saying you're not picked on now. You have a fair amount of confidence to let me know that you're not one to just, you know.
How do you know that I wasn't picked on before and now I have a solid, sound mental resolve as a result?
Because me and you know but we've had this discussion, how the struggle is real and you need that in your life. So we've come to show an appreciation for it, but it doesn't mean.
Thank you. And I've grown.
Yeah, we've grown.
I've grown as a person.
So now it's harder for you to empathize. It's harder with you to watch somebody grow.
I got to pay for that. I got to pay to watch your growth.
I mean, a lot of people did.
Man, this guy didn't get the job.
I'm going to laugh when it wins all these awards and you're like, it's still a crap movie. First of all,
if winning awards is the barometer, stop it, Nick. Stop it. Every movie that's won an award, every movie that's won an Oscar, I love them.
So then this is an Oscar movie.
Oh, it's gonna win some Oscars. Yeah. It's already won some awards. Yeah. But because it's not a crappy movie though. I told you I could separate the two. It's not a crappy film.
But how does that not help the genre as a whole?
Because this movie should have been called Arthur.
Well, this movie wasn't about the Joker. Given whatever, but it's still under the confines of being a comic book movie.
Because they slapped the name Joker onto the genre. Where's Batman at? And let's talk about the Bruce Wayne scene that made me almost turn
off. I know you were going to be mad about
cringed.
This.
I cringed later. Like, yeah. I shook a little bit. I'm not sure if I paused the movie at that time, stepped outside for a second, but I wanted to. Only because I wasn't watching it by myself.
So a lot of that stuff, I think, was a lot in his head. But it's all up to you. The movie is whatever you want it to be. That's the point of the ending of the movie. Like,
so I gotta do all the work.
You have to. I gotta do all the work.
I'm already paying. Can I sit in? I work every day.
So why don't you just go and watch?
I go watch this movie. I don't want to have to work this stuff like that
in front of you.
I eat popcorn at every movie. Do you not eat popcorn? Are you against popcorn now, Nick?
No, I just don't eat it at every movie. I'm just saying. When I say popcorn eating movie, I mean you need something spelled out for you so much that you to require you to think at all is an inconvenience to you.
No, that's a lazy way of
interpreting quote unquote art or media or anything, to expect everyone to do all the thinking for you. That's lazy and it's just irresponsible.
Did I make this movie?
You didn't.
If I made it, you wouldn't have to think. My movie's come complete, bro.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Right, this whole situation of like, am I getting writer's credit?
All right.
Can I get some credit for it? If I'm over here doing interpretations, I need credits. Am I part of SAG? Am I part of the Screen Actors Guild? No.
Nope. It's for you to interpret. It's, you know what
I
mean?
And I think that if I was, then my movie would be better.
It's lazy.
I would be better. Lazy. How is it lazy, Nick?
Because you need it spelled out for you. 100% of the time.
Actually complete.
100% of the time. Did you enjoy American Psycho?
I didn't watch American Christian Bale.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I didn't watch the movie. I'm a fan of Christian Bale, though.
Why didn't you see
it? I didn't watch Joy Luck Club. I'm pretty sure it's a great movie. I never watched
it. I'm just saying if I'm going to have any sort of point of reference to any sort of movie that you like that you actually had to think about and wasn't just a big bad guy explosion, bad guy explosion.
I feel like there's certain,
everyone hit him at once explosion credits.
There are certain hills you should die on, and this isn't the one. I feel like you're pushing all your chips into the middle of the table. Arthur is not the movie you should be pushing your chips in. I respect your Last Jedi argument better. Like, that had more like teeth to it.
I'm just thinking that
this argument is kind of like, you know what I'm talking about. Anytime a person knows what you're talking about and they know they can see what you're talking about, but they're like,
I don't hear you arguing your laziness. I hear you arguing my argument.
So you feel like it's not a beta switch.
It's not, is what you're saying. I feel as if you're using beta switch as an emotional response.
What does Nick feel?
It's not.
Did you feel like it was not a beta switch?
It's a
Nick
Joker origin movie. That's what it is.
It is Todd Phillips' Joker origin movie. Don't make it like it's canon.
Batman Begins is Christopher Nolan's origin movie.
No, it's not.
Okay, it is.
Do not disrespect Frank Miller like that.
I'm not disrespecting, but it's not.
Turn the show off.
It's not.
When you mention Batman Begins, Batman Rises, you better mention Frank Miller.
Okay, it's not year one.
You better mention Frank Miller.
Don't act like that didn't come from his universe. All right, here it is.
Stop it.
I will give Frank. Okay, what Christopher Nolan
it's
did.
It's Frank Miller, then Christopher Nolan. Okay. Not Christopher Nolan, then Frank Miller.
See, now you're telling me that Christopher Nolan borrowed a blanket rather than made a quilt.
Frank Miller, Christopher Nolan.
You're telling me Christopher Nolan. Which one is it, Nick?
Frank Miller, Christopher Nolan for you.
So much from Frank Miller that you can't call Batman Begins Christopher Nolan's vision.
It is his movie.
No, it's Frank Miller's vision. It's his vision. Now, you can either say, now he borrowed a lot. He borrowed a lot.
You're killing me here.
He borrowed a lot.
Because if there's no Frank Miller, there's no Batman Begins.
Okay, where is Batman Begins without Christopher Nolan? Where is Ra's al Ghul in year one?
He's not in year one.
Okay, but you're sitting here telling me that Batman Begins is directly ripped off of Frank Miller and Ra's al Ghul.
The main
protagonist in this movie is not in Frank Miller's year one. Where's Catwoman in Batman Begins?
Oh, real quick. Okay. I just got a crazy news. I know. All right. So I'm going to discuss this in a second. This is crazy. All right. We'll get back to that in a second. This is crazy. I can't believe what I just read.
What?
I just read that Kobe Bryant just died.
What?
Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash just now.
Are you kidding me?
Just now. Literally, I got sent it. I cannot believe this.
Are you kidding me?
What? Are you kidding me? Now the show took a very serious turn.
Where's my phone?
It just took a very serious turn. Oh my God. This is happening live on the show. I'm gonna keep it going.
Let's keep this going.
I'm gonna keep it going, but I cannot believe this. I cannot believe. Please, Lord, tell me this is not true.
Let's find out.
I might tear up.
Kobe Bryant in helicopter crash.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's done. It's real.
No.
It's real.
Oh my God, no.
It's real. Oh my God, no. TMZ. TMZ's crashed. Whoa. That is insane.
Oh my God, guys. Whew.
Dang. That's rough.
Right after LeBron broke his record. LeBron broke his record last night at the time of this recording. So I'm not sure when I'm going to actually air this episode.
Whoa.
But at the time of this recording, on the 20th, we're recording this on the 26th of January. On the 25th of January, LeBron James just passed Kobe Bryant on the all-time list of Kobe Bryant. Congratulates LeBron James. And I'm reading about it and everything. This happened literally last night. You mean to tell me the next day Kobe Bryant dies? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I hate to hijack the show with this.
Yeah.
Because this is not what this show is about, but I had to have a very... I just got that text message. I'm on TMZ
right now.
Oh, my God.
Three other people died in the crash. Vanessa Bryant was not among board. Five people confirmed dead.
Unbelievable.
Calabasas. He was flying in his private helicopter over Calabasas and fire broke out, it looks like, on the helicopter and it went down.
Unbelievable.
Wow. So like,
unbelievable.
This has happened. Wow. Wasn't he coaching his daughters? He was coaching some youth female team, wasn't he?
I don't know. This is horrible.
Yeah.
This is horrible. We're going to take a second for Kobe here.
Yeah.
This is horrible for his family. Excellent player. Hall of Famer. The list goes on and on and on and on. Never cheated the game.
Franchise.
Statue status. He's going to get a statue. But this is unbelievable.
Yeah. While we were recording this, this is all happening right now.
Unbelievable.
5 minutes ago.
Unbelievable. Well, I'm not going to mount as large of a defense in my situation now.
I think all of our arguments are kind of insignificant.
Life has been put into perspective instantaneously here. That's really heavy. It's really rough.
That is.
I think I'm going to leave this in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible.
This is real. This is what. Yeah.
God. All right. It's I'm on.
I don't know if I can talk about Joker anymore.
I mean, that's heavy, bro. Heavy, right? Yeah. Heavy.
That is.
We'll take a few minutes here.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, Well, I'm going to end this because we started off lighter than this will be ending. I'm going to end this in probably a couple minutes here. At the end of the day, the movie is a good movie that you go see. You should go see the movie. Yeah. Not go see the movie, but you should see the movie. You're not going to be cheated by that experience if you were to sit down and watch the movie.
Okay, so did you like ultimately what his interpretation of the Joker was by the end of it?
I wasn't a fan of it. But it's two separate issues though, because you know, it's not, that's different from the, what I felt like the movie should have been called and what kind of movie it really was. If this was a movie that, and this actually came from a coworker, if this was a movie who liked the movie, actually they loved the movie and they were like, but they understood if the movie wasn't called Joker, they were like, we still would have loved the movie. They would love it exactly the same. They loved the message they felt the movie was trying to get across. And I felt like Todd Phillips, from his perspective, this is very successful for him because he was able to have commercial success, which I feel like is largely in part to the movie being called Joker. He was able to have commercial success, but he was also able to make the movie he wanted to make. And you were able to get across points you felt you wanted to get across. I feel like that's kind of like to borrow a political term, reaching across the aisle from fanboy to like more indie film person.
Well, that's kind of my point was it kind of blended both art and reality and also the fantasticness of the comic book realm. And it did it in a way that wasn't so, I don't know, one-handed on one certain side or the other. You know what I'm saying? But I ultimately enjoyed the scene where he kills the big fat guy and he kind of messes with the little person. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like a perfect interpretation of like how the kind of Joker would be, you know, and like how he kind of was scarred, but also had like this like really weird sort of not appropriate sense of humor for the situation. But it was still funny for everyone else, you know, just not realizing how tense a situation is or realizing how tense a situation is and then making you uncomfortable the entire time and thinking it's hilarious. And I thought that was kind of the perfect encompass of what the Joker really is, you know.
Was that like
just knowing how evil everything is, knowing that you know that. Mm-hmm. And knowing how tense things can be and how stressful things can be and also knowing you know you that mm-hmm. and pulling you out of your comfort zone for no other reason than his own personal pleasure. We just know as people like you, everyone kind of likes to do that. Watch people kind of squirm, you know, because it's just funny. Mm-hmm. But he does it in a way that's, you know, very psychopathic. So.
Well, I think also, Nick, the biggest difference I would say when I go to see a comic book movie myself versus somebody who might be more of a cinema fan, which is some of my friends who are more cinema fans than comic book fans and some are both, is when I'm going to see these characters and especially a character like the Joker, this is a character that I've lived with for my entire life. So this is a character I've lived with for about 40 years, almost 40 years. I've lived with this character.
Yeah.
So when I go to see this character, I read a bunch of books, I've seen a bunch of comics. I read every Batman up to like 700 or something. I have fell off over the last like year or so. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what they're up to now. But as of 2017, I was completely up to date on all the Batmans. I don't know if it's detective because, you know, he has several couple different ones.
He has the detective. He has the Batman.
I think it was Robin. A Batman, not whichever one has like about 700
Legends of the Dark Knight
is the one that where I was up to date on. Read a lot of Joker stories. I read a lot of Joker graphic novels. The thing is the Joker as a villain is not a sympathetic character. He's not. He's a very evil, evil character. He's killed kids. He's killed men, women. He's not a sympathetic figure. So it's very hard then to fast forward 30 years into the future, go into and see an interpretation that lends any kind of sympathy to this character because he is not a sympathetic character.
So the allure of the character to you is he is unsympathetic.
He's not a sympathetic character. He's an evil character.
That's what I'm saying. You can't sympathize with him. And that's kind of why you like him so much, is because he is the quintessential villain, to where even his motivations don't matter.
Well, I think it's a very charismatic villain. Like, when you look at the creators and a lot of these comic book characters, whether they're villains or heroes, versus like your Peter Parkers, a lot of your characters that resonate with people are charismatic characters, whether they're evil or not, yeah. whether they're evil or good. Joker's a charismatic villain.
I think it turned him into the underdog a lot of the time, and people just love a good underdog story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and depending on what perspective you tell that story from, it seems sympathetic, right? But now be on the other side, and it is not as sympathetic. Well,
I don't ever think it painted it in too much of a romantic light, other than
it kind of gave me like, this is why he's like this kind of narrative, and I don't like that narrative.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you read Killing Joke?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
it's
I mean, everybody, if you're in a comic book fan, should
have read The Killing Joke. You should read it if you have not read it. It's amazing. Like,
they still tried to make you sympathize with the Joker, you know?
To a certain degree, but
I mean, but they also, I think Joker's one of those deals where if you actually listen to any of the things he says, his backstory, his origin story is multiple choice. Because he's never going to give you the true story, nor is...
That's because it never existed.
It never should. That's what... that was your whole point, too, is it never should.
Right, because this is just how it is.
And that was kind of what I liked about the movie, is it kind of left it ambiguous enough to say... Could have happened. It could have happened, or it could have happened this way, or because you're getting it from one perspective. You know what I'm saying? You're only ever seeing it from that one perspective. So by the end of it, you know, is he really? Because everyone's the hero in their own story,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Everyone's the hero of their own story.
Told from their perspective,
so if it's told from his perspective,
absolutely.
But by the end of it, you know, people are scared of him. He's not. You know, when he's okay. Perfect example. His comedy set at that thing, where everyone's laughing and having a good time and he's telling all these great jokes, and then they show you the videotape of it and it's completely just not funny. It's kind of awkward. Mm. He just crickets, you know, but that's the thing. That's the whole point of the movie, is if it's told from the Joker's perspective, the whole time you're going to be thinking, well, yeah, he's justified in doing this. And yeah, he's justified in doing this. And yeah, he's justified in doing this. And yeah, he could have killed those guys. So they were just trying to hurt that woman on the train. But were they? They were just kind of messing with her. I don't know if they were quote unquote hurting her, but you know, it's all a matter of how he saw everything. And then by the end of it, none of it's how he thought, because none of it was based in reality.
Right. Right.
So to be that ambiguous with it is to still give you kind of an opening of saying, like, you know, did this happen? Did this not happen? You know, so now you can pick and choose the parts of it you want to believe and pick and choose the parts of it you don't. And there's the beauty of it, is it's so subjective now that when you break it down, everyone's going to have a different interpretation of it. And it's just going to keep you talking, which is the whole point of making that sort of movie.
Do you think that when this kind of, because this is the same situation that we had with The Last Jedi. Yeah,
it's a lot of the same.
Yeah. With the sense that is having something be infamous the same as being famous? If having something say, hey, man, we're all talking about it, so something must be right. Is that necessarily right? Is it just that simple?
With art, yeah, that makes it successful, because art is supposed to inspire any sort of emotion, negative, positive. It's still supposed to inspire some form of emotion for you to.
So I guess that depends on where the goalpost is for the individual creator. Some people, the goalpost is fiscal and they want to make more money. Some people, the goalpost is, having people just even discuss your movie in any kind of context to them is successful. I don't know.
But this one kind of got all the kind of got to have its cake and eat it too, because only did it get critical acclaim, not only did it get commercial success, it also got the divisiveness of the fan base, and also gets people talking, and also gets all these issues it's trying to bring to the forefront, kind of, you know, at least talking points, you know, and that's all art is really supposed to do, is to inspire some form of debate. So it leads to a higher change. In the long run, it doesn't always have to do that. But I mean, it's not necessarily the sole responsibility of the artist to, you know, solve all the world's problems. But it is somewhat of a responsibility of an artist making that sort of, or presenting that sort of art out into the world, to at least get someone talking about it.
Well, I try to be an adult fanboy about these situations. By being an adult fanboy, here's what I mean. I mean, I'm a huge fan of these IPs. be it Star Wars, Marvel, and video games and stuff like that. But I'm not the guy who's review bombing on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, no,
I'm not that guy.
And that's the one thing about you. So you've always been at least fair in your assessments. Yeah, no one's ever questioned that.
I try to be adult fanboy in the room. And part of that, part of being a fanboy is because what ends up happening is, like I said, you have a reaching across the aisle sort of the fandom of Joker to like a movie that's like this. And it's a reaching across the aisle, and you're going to have some cross-pollinization there because some people are going to be sitting squarely in both. And that's not strange.
People who like real cinema are going to write like Martin Scorsese. People who like real cinema, we're going to write it off as, it's comic
book. So here's the thing.
So there's that section of the, I mean, that's the,
and a guy like that. So here's, that's actually a good point.
He was supposed to produce this movie, by the way.
If, let's say that Martin Scorsese sees this and it's the one movie he likes. Like, hey, man, they're all horrible except the Joker. Now, I'm not saying this happened. We're going to do purely hypothetical.
He did borrow a lot from Taxi Driver.
So he says, hey, this is Joker's the only movie that we really feel like is a good comic book movie. Listen, as people who love these franchises, we don't want you in the room anyway. Like, you're not a participant. You're not a person who's fiscally supported these IPs. You're not a person who we necessarily care about you being in the room or not.
You'd rather be stewarded by people who respect it.
But people who've always respected it. Don't, if you know you don't respect it, stay away from it.
I was very consistent about
the Black Panther situation. She was going to make Black Panther, I forgot her name. And I think it was I don't want to say the wrong person's name.
Delaney.
So me and Josh had a comment. Now, me and Josh did talk about this. How we were so glad she didn't get a chance to make Black Panther.
Because she made a 90-minute Herbal Essence commercial called Wrinkle in Time.
Exactly. Go see Wrinkle in Time why we did not want to watch it. You went and saw that in the theater. I recall that
because my wife chose.
Yeah. You took the leg shot. Good job. Yeah, there. Good job. You had to do that. But the thing is we were so happy that movie did not get made by her. I'm very consistent. Mm-hmm. We were happy. You need to keep your hands off Black Panther because you're not a part of it. You're not a part of this. You know what I mean? We've all seen what happens when a person is a significant fan of something, makes something, and it just comes out so much better.
Well, I don't think Christopher Nolan was quote unquote a fan of Batman, but he was a fan of Blade Runner. He's a fan of that type of story. So
Nolan is different. Like that's a whole different, like I kind of have to tackle those two situations different because I have a respect for his movies. Like, yeah, I don't view his movies the same way as I view this movie.
He's
going to
tackle it as like, how can I make the best movie with this character rather than with a good movie?
But he does do both. It's good. He does it in a very tasteful fashion.
He does it in a very tasteful fashion. Right, that's exactly what I was about to say.
I'm putting him and Todd Phillips in two totally different. I'm separating Joker. I'm not even going to say Todd Phillips. I'm not familiar with his work like that. I'm separating Joker from the Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie was that because this movie is going to make people be like, well, finally, the first good comic book movie.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Beat it. You know what I mean? We never want you here. We don't want you in here anyway, because there's several good movies, comic book movies.
Well,
What if
that softens the barrier between their just complete writing off of anything because it's based in a superhero. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joker kind of opens their eyes? Does it do its job then?
Maybe for them, but I'm not serviced by that.
Okay, but again,
we're making billions without you. We don't need you.
Again, that's fair. That's because that's the only thing making money in cinemas anymore.
I mean, we're making billions without you. And that's for a reason, though, right? Like, is it a chicken egg? It's a lot of times people try to feel like they can manufacture success and they cannot.
I think it's a lot of our generation coming up, knowing these characters. These were our Greek gods. These were our,
mythology for us. Absolutely.
These were our Shakespeare. These were our, Hardy Boy. Any sort of generational literary hero. This is our generations. And I mean, how many times when you were a kid did you dreamcast things? Did you list out the X-Men and who could play this guy and who could play that guy? I mean, when you were a kid, that's all you did. Well, guess what? A lot of the people who are our age now have the money to make that happen.
Right.
So that's essentially where we are now.
I feel like, too, that there is a certain amount of fiscal success that's expected for these films. And when you see what happened with Solo and some of these other films, you see that people aren't just going to just show up. You know what I mean? They're not just going to show up. I mean, the film's got to be something.
They still did.
It's
got to
be something good.
That's the thing. They show up and then opinions get formed after. And then
facts. Because they're showing up based on your previous work. They're not showing up based on that.
So there you go with the commercial success of something doesn't necessarily mean it's a successful endeavor.
Well, Disney because, necessarily view it as a commercial success because they shut down production. If Solo was a commercial success in Disney's eyes, there would be Solo 2 would have been on the horizon.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, it still was the number one movie the first week it was out. So these people still showed up, lined up.
Because of the previous hype. Because of the previous movies.
Yeah.
I feel like it drew it in. I feel like The Last Jedi had a reverse effect for this last Star Wars.
This last Star Wars, I mean, have you read the article about it being the critically reviewed worst film in the Star Wars series?
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that because I think we got a little Star Wars fatigue setting in too now at this point. Because these movies are being, like, you went from a 30-year period of releases to like banging them out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now it's right in front of us.
If you'd just, you know, look at The Mandalorian. I mean, everyone keeps bringing this up is the fact that the TV IPs are going to be what saves you because now you need to serialize these things. Yeah, you need to serialize this universe because now we already have enough of the source material from the movies that you don't need to make a movie every year if you serialize it. And definitely no more trilogies.
You could probably get away with one-offs here and there with the space to breathe.
I just hope they don't go the like Marvel route where they're having, you know, C-3PO show up in this or that, you know, or Anakin, you know. You know, and if they make references, great, like awesome, but like you don't need Hayden Christensen showing up as whatever, you know, you don't need Vader in everything, you know what I'm saying? Like we don't need it anymore because now we're at a point where you've built this universe that's so vast and I mean with any sort of IP, I mean look at Marvel, you've built this universe so vast that now they're doubling down on phase, what is this, 5, 4?
I don't know what phase we're in.
Yeah, this next phase is going to be a lot of the lesser kind of...
You've already gone to the well for that first phase, man. Yeah. Listen, you've already been mining for a while. You've been mining this cave for a minute.
But now you have these little gems of like, this person can pop up, you know, for a scene in this. Or, you know, you've already laid the groundwork to where now, like, you have to build kind of the new kind of... regime of what's going to bring him in here because we can't tell another Captain America story for the umpteenth time. I mean, we don't want to become formulaic, and that's when it starts becoming formulaic, hence why the trilogy was the way it was because it was all based on a formula that worked 40 years ago. It was a great formula then. It was a great formula then, but now there's so much that has happened in direct inspiration of that sort of formula that the public has seen that. So many times they've seen that sort of presented story to us. So now you have an opportunity to either set a trend or just kind of paint a bunch of CGI over the same old trends. Yes, it's fan service. Yes, it's great. But again, if you don't take any chances, you're never going to evolve any sort of genre. It's all just going to be recycled stuff from other sort of storytelling points. And especially if you borrow directly from yourself, you know?
Well, if I am taking anything away from what you're saying, and I'm just going to sum up you, I'm going to paraphrase you. Let me know if I'm off base here. You're saying that Rian Johnson ruined Star Wars.
No, I'm saying that following that same formula. No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm very sure I didn't say that. I said Rian Johnson was the only one trying to show you that if you keep making the same mistakes, you're going to keep getting the same results.
And that resulted in what for Rian Johnson?
Well, it resulted in a lot of people getting mad because he pointed a black mirror at them saying, yeah, you guys are the reason that this is not going to go well.
I think the funny part about that is directors like that feeling like we care about their black mirror being pointed. Who are you? Like, who are you to point any kind of mirror?
He's the one whose name's on the credits.
If I'm not mistaken, the last Star Wars had J.J. Abrams' names on the credit, right? Which one did Rian Johnson make?
It was a complete rehash of another movie made 40 years ago.
Rian Johnson made the one before.
Yeah, and it was critically...
I did see a Rian Johnson film in December.
It was critically reviewed better than your J.J. Abrams
one. If we're going to go there in December,
you can tell me...
But it wasn't called Star Wars.
The empty cash grab that was Rise of Skywalker.
Isn't it all a cash grab? Stop it, true. Nick. Stop it. True. Let's not get a moral superiority about capitalism now.
I'm saying, though, that like they really were like, panic. Let's just throw a bunch of money at JJ. You know why they panicked?
Yeah. You know why they did?
Well, they panicked because of Solo.
They panicked because of that last movie. Yeah. You know what that last movie was called? I think it was called Last Jedi.
Either way.
Who did that movie, man?
Either way.
You know who did that?
You fans bullied a poor Asian actress out of a role.
Oh my, stop it. That's not even going to Rose. This is about Ryan. This is about Ryan Johnson. And we don't mind pulling him out of here. What is he going to become, the Joker? Is that, or do you have a new Joker on the horizon? Named Ryan Johnson?
We'll
end this show on that, and we'll wait for the new Ryan movie to come out. It's going to be called Ryan.
Okay. That'd be good.
Okay.
It'll be good.
All right. Trojan ATL. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, like, subscribe, and all that good stuff. See you later.
All right.